relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Oh my gosh, block the call board. We've got to deal with all these calls. That's a lot of calls. But first, we need to go back in time, ancient history, 4 years ago. Do you remember what it was like on the streets of D.C., our nation's capital, just 4 years ago? Where shall we begin? Let's start with video cut 11, a little montage, just to remind us of how peaceful it was back then without 27,000 National Guardsmen on our streets. Video cut 11.
Freedom! Freedom!
Lines of police, riot shields, tear gas. Oh, and don't forget what they thought of immigrants just trying to earn a living. Video cut 12 from 4 years ago. Play cuts.
A limousine set on fire as demonstrators wreaked havoc in Washington. Police had to push back the protesters so firefighters could get to the flames. A group of people carrying anarchy flags pushed over trash cans and destroyed storefront windows as they swarmed through the streets.
So delightful, so peaceful, and none of them were wearing a MAGA hat. How strange. But it wasn't just D.C. It also spread its wings to Florida and to Mar-a-Lago. This is video cut 13.
Closer to home, near Mar-a-Lago, protesters wield a coffin to symbolize the death of democracy. And now a familiar scene outside Trump Tower in Chicago, a huge crowd of demonstrators making their voices heard.
Not quite how the legacy media would have you remember the inauguration of our 45th president. And back then, the left didn't like the police, even when their friends were throwing bricks at them. Video cut 14.
Others with bricks in their hands. Some of these folks are throwing these bricks. Don't block our camera. Don't block our camera. Why are you throwing bricks? Don't block our camera.
Why are you throwing? He sounds confused. Why are you throwing bricks? And then, of course, the legacy media has to explain it away. Let's ask Rachel Maddow how she related to the violence from her fellow Democrats. Cut 15.
We have had protesters at inaugural parades in the past. George W. Bush, after the Bush v. Gore 2000 election, there were a number of protests along the parade route that year.
Oh, it's happened before. It's just kids having fun. You know the difference is, Rachel Maddow? Before, we didn't get more than 200 people arrested because of the violence they perpetrated in our capital on Inauguration Day. And none of them went to jail. Why is that? Why is that the story of the last 10 months in America?
with violence raging across the nation in Democrat cities and states. More than 700 police officers injured, that we know of. More than 30 Americans murdered, half of them black. But they were bailed out. They were allowed out. Sometimes their bail paid for by leftist celebrities. That, Rachel, is different. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Oh, we forgot the most fun one. Let's have a fun one. What happened when Donald Trump was actually sworn in 4 years ago? I was there. Some people took it badly. Video cut 10. Play cuts.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States. What do you say
to that? Some woman in a yellow anorak just screams at the sky. All you can say, not normal. That's all you can say. Let's go to the Granite State. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Paula, line 5.
Wow, this is my third try, and I got through, Dr. Gorka.
Congratulations. Perseverance.
Awesome. Perseverance. I'm trying to stay composed, former proofreader, but I've had heavy metal poisoning, so I get nervous.
It's a little bit too much information. You're a former proofreader who's got heavy metal poisoning. I presume that's not in the form of, you know, AC/DC and, you know, Whitesnake.
No, I graduated in 75, so that was after my time, but lots of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, my gosh. My wife likes
that. So I really want to ask you this.
Yes!
I want to ask you, do you think the Biden administration will mandate vaccinations? Because I'm very paranoid.
That's not what you told Mr. G you were going to ask me.
All right, so should I go back to question number one?
Well, you know, we do actually choose our callers based upon what they tell Mr. G.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a newbie, so I'll go back to number one, which was, I'm thinking too, and I'm not vain, but I'm thinking millions of Americans would like to know, how in the ever-loving was Hunter Biden walking around holding a Bible at his father's inauguration when they have hard evidence of him smoking crack and sexually abusing minors.
Careful, Paula. Caution, caution, caution. There's no hard evidence of him sexually abusing minors. There are photographs, allegedly, of his niece, who was a minor, when those photographs were taken, sexually explicit ones on one of the three laptops that Hunter Biden left in that store. So there's a fine line there between those distinctions. But how is he walking around? I think you're asking a rhetorical question, aren't you, Paula? I think you know the answer to that question.
Well, no, it's the third time I tried to get through, so actually I don't.
Really? You haven't heard
of a thing? Yeah, I'm going to admit it.
You haven't heard of a thing called the deep state or the swamp?
Oh, yes. Well, yes.
Yes. So there's your answer. When the FBI sits now, conflicting reports here, but at least one of them is that the FBI main, so the headquarters here in the Hoover Building in D.C., never even took possession of the laptops. They stayed at the field office in Delaware. And, of course, is it Delaware? Where was the laptop shop? Was it Connecticut or Delaware? Delaware, right. So, of course, the Biden family is completely, you know, has Delaware sewn up. And the reliable reports are that the laptops ended up at the FBI field office in Delaware and weren't even ever forwarded to the main building at the FBI. Now, why would that be, Paula? I think you know the answer to the question. With regards, keep her on the line. Let's reward her. Let's give her a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. You can get yours at sebgorka.com or at the our new store, which is sebgorkastore.com. With regards to mandatory vaccination, I doubt it. I doubt it. There would be such an uproar. I think even they realize that would be unwise. But this isn't a normal administration, and Joe Biden, our first senile president, isn't a normal
president. Let's go to Tony, San Antonio, line four. You've got a minute and a half, Tony. What's your question?
Professor, good afternoon.
Hey.
Happy belated Feast of St. Sebastian, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. Yes, that's so kind of you. Thank you kindly.
As I was waiting on hold, I saw one of his show and post something about how good Joe Biden or Catholic, how devoted he is to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I saw all over social media that he had a bust of Cesar Chavez in the Oval Office. Did you see that?
I did not. He had a bust of Cesar Chavez?
Yes, sir. And so kind of, I thought it was kind of pandering because everyone was blowing up. Oh, he has a picture, or a bust rather, of Cesar Chavez. As if we don't know how to Google and know that Cesar Chavez was adamantly against illegal immigration.
I don't think that matters, Tony, but thank you for what you said about that. Let's segue. That's a perfect entry. Let's play video cut two, which is about Biden's Catholicity. Play video cut two.
Two big concerns for pro-life Americans. The Hyde Amendment, which of course keeps taxpayer dollars, as you know, from paying for abortions, Medicaid abortions, and the Mexico City policy, which under the previous administration they expanded to keep tax dollars from overseas paying for abortions. So what is President Biden planning on doing in those two items right now?
Well, I think we'll have more to say on the Mexico City policy in the coming days. But I will just take the opportunity to remind all of you that he is a devout Catholic and somebody who attends church regularly. He started his day attending church with his family this morning, but I don't have anything more for you.
She is not doing very well, is she? But I don't feel sorry for her. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
You know, it's that old commie John Brennan. I don't think he got a position in the Biden administration, but he's mouthing off. Did you hear what he said on CNN? Guy's such a creep. Video cut five, play cut.
So I know, looking forward, that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas, mm-hmm. where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength, and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians. And unfortunately, I think there has been this momentum that has been generated as a result of, unfortunately, the demagogic rhetoric of people that just departed government, but also those who continue in the halls of Congress.
Demagogic rhetoric from the man who called the president of the United States a traitor. You hack, you pathetic little man. Oh, and by the way, 74 million men and women voted for him. You sad little person. We're going to have fun with Brennan. I'm going to have a lot of fun with Brennan in the next few years. But I should have been having a lot more fun this week, because I should have been in Vegas for SHOT Show. But they canceled it. Let's talk to the man who is at the top of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the fabulous people behind SHOT Show, former executive vice president of Mossberg, that legendary shotgun company. Welcoming back to the show, Joe Bartosi. Welcome.
Hey, Sebastian. Thanks so much for having me.
So, tough to say. I mean, I got my credentials. I got my invitation, my credentials, about a week or 10 days before you guys canceled SHOT Show, the biggest gun event on the planet. I bet that was a tough decision.
Yeah, it was really tough. We had spent several months working with the folks out in Las Vegas, reconfiguring the aisles, you know, working with exhibitors on their booths to make sure everything was as, you know, conducive to social distancing and one-way traffic as we possibly could, in the hopes that we could make this thing happen. But, you know, it just became clear as the, you know, the fall, you know, the numbers started rising in the fall, that it wouldn't be prudent or safe to do that to our exhibitors, to our attendees. So yeah, very big decision, had, you know, profound impact on our company. But you know what? We're getting ready for a great show in 22. We've already started working on that, and we're gonna go full speed ahead.
All right. Well, that's good news. I can't wait to be back there, especially for the range day before the event where we get to test out all the new toys. Talk to us. You are at the top of – you must have the best strategic vision for what's happening in the gun industry. I just follow the NICS test, the background check figures month on month. Have we ever seen a gun industry the likes of which we're witnessing right now, Joe Bartosi?
No, we haven't seen these numbers like this. It's really been a perfect storm of civil unrest, pandemic, coupled with a presidential election. Those things really drove the numbers. But the thing I want to point out, though, is what we're seeing is it's not just like guys like me, old white guys, right? It is women. It is people of color. It is from all walks of life, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, you name it. They're stepping up and they're exercising their Second Amendment rights. They're buying firearms in record numbers, and they're getting out to the range to practice. That is something that is – that really is probably the biggest story, is the demographics, not just the sheer numbers.
And you also must have some very good connections, sources to potential events that could be coming down the pike. When you look at this Second Amendment, when you see the rhetoric of the Democrat presidential candidates, and now we have a Democrat president in the White House – how grim is the future for those who, whether you're a hunter, whether you're a plinker, whether you're a sports shooter or just a collector, give us the hard truth. What do you expect to see in the next year when it comes to guns in America?
Well, there's no question that the rhetoric and the hyperbole that was exhibited by now President Biden and other folks that are now surrounding him, including Kamala Harris, you know, it's, we take them at their word. They are coming for the industry. They're coming for us. On the one hand, you know, it's certainly reason to be concerned. But, you know, I always try to be a glass half full kind of guy. And I say, you know, that the House of Representatives got closer in balance than it has been. So it's going to be more difficult to move really objectionable legislation to the House. The Senate, of course, is tied. You know, we would have, I think the Republicans would like to have those seats in Georgia, or at least one of them, to avoid the tie. But really, legislatively, it's going to be more difficult for, I think, President Biden to move really bad bills through. Now, you know, obviously on the, you know, executive orders side, you know, regulatory side, there could be some mischief, there could be some issues. But, you know, I'm optimistic that we've got really good resources at our disposal to inject some logic into the rhetoric, into the politics, and really protect the fundamental constitutional right to keep and bear arms.
Should we take comfort? This is getting a little bit tactical, but for we have, you know, lots of listeners that are into the Second Amendment, into the gun culture. Should we take it as comforting, the volte-face, the 180 degree turnabout that we saw at the ATF just a couple of weeks ago, where we saw this letter being issued by Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms saying this 6 million of these pistol braces were going to be deemed ATF items that had to be registered, you had to pay a $200 tax, or you had to destroy them, and then with pressure from across the gun world, they flipped on a dime there. Does that make you feel better about the future, this kind of government overreach, or do you think that they'll just try it again?
Well, I think they're clearly going to try it again. I don't know that I'm as comforted as some people might be. And again, maybe there's good reason to be comforted. The way I look at it, however, is as a tactical, from a tactical position, is that, you know, now there was a chance when the Trump administration was still in the White House to get some movement on that and get some real definitions that companies can actually rely on. But now, basically, the ATF is in control of the Biden folks. So if it does come back, it could come back in a much worse form. So on the one hand, yes, of course, people, grassroots effort, they did a great job of pushing back on this thing. But on the other hand, I am, you know, again, looking down the road, I'm saying we've created a situation where the administration has turned, and that could be potentially a problem.
He's the president and CEO of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the people who bring us every year that incredible event, that SHOT Show. 30 seconds left. Joe Bartosi, what's your message to those who are thinking about getting interested and involved with shooting?
I would say definitely, you know, getting involved in shooting sports is a lifetime thing. You're gonna love it. But I would recommend get proper training, educate yourself on the laws in your particular state, and, you know, find a good range, find a good gun shop, frequent those places, get to know the people, and learn, you know, how to safely handle your firearms.
It is so much fun. I've been doing it since I could safely pick up a gun. It is a way of life, and it's also, it's a civil right. There's a reason. It's number two in our Bill of Rights. It's not just about whitetails. God bless you, Joe, and the whole NSSF team. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from just outside the insalubrious, ever more fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefActor.com studios. Next, we're going to talk about the caravans that are coming to the southern border right now. Don't touch that dial. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
What we've done has been amazing by any standard. We rebuilt the United States military. We created a new force called Space Force. That in itself would be a major achievement for a regular administration. We were not a regular administration.
We were not a regular administration. That was the 45th president of the United States speaking to us, small group of his supporters and members of his team at Andrews Air Force Base yesterday morning. Yeah, that is an understatement of the ages, not your regular administration. Somebody who knows just how irregular or special it was is a guest we've had on the show before who I think, sadly, his portfolio is going to be even more important than ever. He is the author of a brand new book, America's Covert Border War, available now. He is the Senior National Security Fellow for the Center for Immigration Studies. Fascinating background, kind of walked the line between journalism and national security. Spent 9 years in a interagency counterterrorism unit in Texas. Todd Bensman, welcome back to America First.
Thanks for having me, Seb.
So we'll talk about your book and one of the most shocking aspects of what you're revealing in your book. But talk to us. First things first, I need a sanity check. I need some ground truth. Because we're seeing these AEOs being signed like they're going out of style. We're seeing stop the border wall building. We're seeing amnesty for illegal aliens. And then we're seeing this footage, at least on Fox and a couple of other channels, of these massive caravans coming to our southern border. Is that really what's happening? And are they doing it because, well, you know, Biden says we can come? Tell us the truth, Todd.
So what's happening is that the world of aspiring migrants all over Latin America, Central America, and the rest of the world have heard the clarion call of the Biden agenda for immigration. They have heard this loud and clear. They're animated by it. They can't wait to get in. Anybody who is sort of on the border, on the fence about whether to come, they're going to come as soon as they possibly can. The migrant caravan that we saw, it's been broken up now, or is being broken up right now in Guatemala, is emblematic of more type caravan and efforts to come to the southern border. That caravan was 9,000 strong. It grew from about 2,000 on a Wednesday, and you know, by the next day it was 9,000. Those people are coming not because of hurricanes or, you know, all these other kind of problems that have always been in existence. They're coming because of the Biden agenda. They are going to be allowed in. They know it, and they're going to be allowed to stay in. And these executive orders that we're seeing, you know, the elimination of deportation, a promise of amnesty, all of those kinds of things is music, beautiful music to the ears of immigrants, wannabe immigrants worldwide. And this is just the beginning. We're going to see more caravans.
And is this a function of just, you know, they're listening to news reports of what Biden promised and what he's signing now? Or is it something more perfidious? Is it something more invidious? Is it an organized caravan, or is it more organic? Can you tell, Todd?
My feeling is that it's very organic. It doesn't take much to spark one of these off. The demand is so strong. The anticipation, the expectation is so powerful. It's like a completely dry field, and somebody just throws a tiny spark in it, and it's in flames. I mean, I think that's really what's happening. I mean, the migrants themselves are being interviewed by local media. They're saying, we are coming. We left our homes because of Joe Biden. They're saying it. This isn't Todd Bensman's, you know, crazy interpretation. Although I have been interviewing migrants myself in Latin America for the past year, and they've all been telling me the same thing. We are waiting for a Democrat to win the White House, and that's what's going to happen. I'll just, Seb, if I can just recall for you about 2 weeks ago.
We got 30 seconds.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, 400 Cubans rushed the international bridge to El Paso shouting, Biden, Biden, Biden. That tells you what you need to know on that.
Shocking. The caravans are coming, and they are coming in their thousands. He's Todd Bensman. Follow him right now. Bensman, B-E-N-S-M-A-N, Todd on Twitter. The new book is America's Covert Border War. More with our special guest momentarily. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Have you taken your balance of nature today? This is Health in Your Hand. It's the guarantee that you will be the healthiest you can be. You've got to exercise. You've got to get out there. You've got to eat sensibly and eat those vegetables your mother told you to eat. But sometimes it's a little hard. I know, who wants just another salad without those bacon bits? But if you take Balance of Nature, just 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, you are taking 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Truly remarkable. Things that you must eat to be healthy. I do it, you should do it. And right now, Dr. Douglas Howard, the inventor of Balance of Nature, is going to give you the biggest deal, 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. Go to balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-246-8751. It's a super easy number, but write it down, 800-246-8751. And if you become a customer, you get free access at the end of a phone line to a health advisor. What a great deal. Balanceofnature.com, code Gorka.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Cancel culture, it's back, worse than ever. Do you understand where it comes from? How pervasive it is? Take to push back. Find out today, watch my good buddy Dennis Prager's movie, No Safe Spaces. Co-host, it's an interesting duo. It's Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. You can watch it through us at salemnow.com. Order your copy. Use my name, G-O-R-K-A, for your discount on the new movie, No Safe Spaces, at salemnow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with the author of America's Covert Border War, Todd Bensman. He's traveled the world. He's been a journalist in war zones like Bosnia. He's traveled the Middle East, ended up as heading a multi-agency counterterrorism fusion center for the government of Texas. Todd, we have to talk about one of my first acts in the White House when I was given the travel ban to read less than 24 hours before it dropped. I was kind of an external check on it as a counterterrorism guy. It dropped, the world lit on fire, and then I was thrown into the arena to justify it, which wasn't hard to do because it was about the safety of Americans. It wasn't a Muslim ban. It was a counterterrorism ban based on the threat assessment we had inherited from the Obama administration with regard to seven hotbeds of terror recruitment. Talk to us about what happens when Joe Biden nixes that executive order.
Right. Well, the executive order is nixed. Happened even before his first day was out. The problem with it is we are left with no possible way to do security vetting on migrants from those 13 countries. Those countries are on the list not because of religion or anything like that. They're on the list because the governments don't exist. Their governments are pre-modern, don't have record systems or databases by which Americans can call up and say, tell us about the criminal background on this guy.
Or the countries like Syria that wouldn't tell us whether somebody coming on a Syrian passport is a bad guy or not, so we can't trust them.
Right, or a place like Chad, which is filled with Boko Haram. They're not exactly, scions of high-tech intelligence systems, and we don't collaborate with countries like Yemen or Syria or, and there are countries like Somalia that don't even have birth certificates or driver's licenses for anybody for 20 years. And records from before 1991 were destroyed by different militias. Who are you going to call when you need to check on a visa? So by reversing this with nothing in the alternative, you're setting the country up for catastrophe. You're going to have terrorist prosecutions and attacks in this country. And really, I hope I'm wrong in that prediction, but I don't think I am.
I'm sad to say I think that prediction is a foregone conclusion. Let's talk about what your latest writing is about. This is America's Covert Border War, the untold story of the nation's battle to prevent jihadist infiltration. You can order it right now. This is even more frightening that we have the border open, the arrest and detain and deportation rules have jettisoned. How much do we know about jihadi exploitation of that way to get into the United States?
Well, on January 12th, President Trump, on his last trip to the border to Alamo, Texas, said out loud and for probably a couple of minutes discussed that he had seen intelligence that terrorists had crossed that border and had been landed in South America and had come over to a far greater degree than anybody realizes. And he left it at that, and nobody reported those remarks whatsoever. The fact of the matter is that the president is accurate. Say what you want on other things that he has claimed. His credibility's been challenged here and there. But on that one, the president is correct. He's seen the intelligence. And the fact is that the American Homeland Security establishment has had counterterrorism programs deployed at the physical land border, southern land border, for 15 years working on this problem, a problem that they say doesn't exist. And the American Homeland Security establishment has had programs, people, men, women, and money being spent throughout Latin America to chase down jihadists, catch them, and deal with them. So there are programs that exist that are to take care of, to address a problem that the media in a widespread way says does not exist. But my book really just counteracts that with facts, truth, data, interviews, intelligence reporting, and a big compilation of material that I've collected over 13 years. And I hope that people will read this. It's a very controversial kind of threat, I understand. Yes. But I hope to address it in a neutral way going forward. In the presidential debate on January 12th, I'll just say that.
Well, it's only controversial insofar as it's full of facts and information that certain people don't want Americans to hear. When I was branded a controversial deputy assistant to the president, I knew I was being successful. Follow this man. He is Todd Bensman on Twitter. Bensman, B-E-N-S-M-A-N. Todd, the book is America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. And he is a senior national security fellow for the Center for Immigration Studies. God bless you, Todd. Keep doing what you do, because there are very few voices like yours that are actually getting to the bottom of the threat, especially when it comes to infiltration across the southern border. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Pain relief that's drug-free. Pain relief that actually works. How do I know that? Because I've lived it now for 2 years. I took Relief Factor, and after 2 weeks, my lower back pain issue was resolved, gone after 9 years, almost a decade, and 2 years later, I'm still pain-free. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans like Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. You need to have that experience. You need to find out if Relief Factor could work for you like it works for Reggie. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384. That number, 800-500-8384. 8384, or just go to their website, ReliefFactor.com. You've waited long enough. Don't wait any longer. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie.
So what do we do now? What's your job? First things first, pay the rent, feed your kids, and make sure they've got a roof over their heads. But beyond that, it's not just about sustenance and survival. It's about your job in making sure we claw back the republic. One of the easiest things you can do, it takes a little bit of mental effort, but it can be done without any training, you don't have to go back to school, is to make sure that you are a purveyor of truth, that you become what the military calls a force multiplier for the truth. You don't propagate the first thing somebody sends to you on Facebook because it talks about some nefarious scheme, some conspiracy theory. You don't do that. You ask the question, as we discussed, where did it come from? Who's saying it? Is it verified? What is their reputation? Do they have the requisite credentials to make those statements? And is there any confirmation? Because if the answer to those questions is no, 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 and none, then you can hurt us. You can hurt America. You can hurt the future of the MAGA movement by becoming a propagator of things that aren't true. Things that in many cases, I talked about the objective. Why are people peddling this stuff? Apart from the weirdos and the kooks, the crazy. It's because sometimes, many times, they're not on our side. And they want to lull you into a false sense of security. Don't worry, somebody's got this. There's a secret plan! Donald Trump's got this, or the Green Berets have got this, or some stupid crazy thing called Q has got this. With what objective? To make sure that you don't do anything. To make sure that you aren't engaged. To make sure that you don't use your critical faculties to find out the real truth. So, we're going to do it again. We're going to post. It's already up there. The 14 most reliable news sources I trust, we trust here at America First at Salem. Stick to those. If it doesn't come from those sources, if those sources say it's garbage, don't propagate it. And then get involved yourself. Everyone listening, the millions of our listeners and viewers, if you politically, if you run for office, if you speak out for the truth, we'll have America back faster than you think. It's all possible. God bless you all. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And now, especially, stay frosty.